Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a family of six have been left homeless in Letterkenny after being told they had to leave their temporary accommodation this morning. The HSE has confirmed today that they are continuing to deal with a measles outbreak in Donegal, with three more probable cases identified. Police in Strabane believe last night's fire at the Old Smiths Mill on the Derry Road was started deliberately, and the Bishop of Raphoe has reached out to survivors of abuse. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a family of six have been left homeless in Letterkenny after being told they had to leave their temporary accommodation this morning. Jo Ahmed from the UK, her Egyptian husband and four children who were living in a temporary accommodation at Glenini House at B&B were told this morning that they had to source alternative accommodation. Having presented at Donegal County Council, paediatric nurse Jo claims the local authority have told them there is no onus on them to provide the family with emergency accommodation, as they cannot establish if Miss Ahmed is habitually resident in Ireland. The family have based themselves at the Public Service Centre in Letterkenny for most of the day, but have been told that come now at 5 o'clock, they have to vacate the building. Ms Ahmed says her family will now be forced to sleep on the streets tonight.
We've been told that come 5 o'clock, the onus is on us to find our own accommodation, as they will not be providing any emergency accommodation due to the fact that they cannot find out if we are habitually resident. Considering that I'm not habitually resident in my own country is questionable, really, because where am I habitually resident? If I'm living here, I receive a social welfare from here and I don't receive from my own country, then surely I'm habitually resident here. We don't know where to go. We have nowhere else to go. We have no money, nothing.
So effectively, you've been left to sleep on the street tonight?
Yes. Yes, the council are quite happy that we can sleep on the street. Everyone's just told us to go to the council, that we're the council's issue. And the onus is on the council because we have small children, and they just keep talking about the fact that we came to Ireland and we should have had a substantial amount of money to support us. Well, you know, I did my research before coming here. I had a custody battle which was also engraved with a relocation package to Ireland for 10 years. So I had done research. I thought I had enough money from what the internet told me prices were. And we've met problems along the way, and unfortunately we're in this situation. I'm a paediatric nurse. I have not come here to live on social welfare benefit. I'm here to work, and you need nurses. This is a crazy situation for us to be in as a family.
And come 5 o'clock, are you going to leave the building or are you going to try and stay?
I have no option but to leave, because if I have any form of criminal record, then I cannot work as a nurse. So I'm in a very sticky situation.
The HSE has confirmed today that they are continuing to deal with the measles outbreak in Donegal. Last week, two cases were confirmed with a link to a third-level institution in Galway. Today, the body says there are three more probable cases and they are investigating several other possible cases. The HSE is asking anyone who has symptoms of the disease to contact their GP in the first instance to enable the GP make special arrangements for the patient to attend the surgery. They say while the majority of children in Donegal still receive the MMR vaccine, the numbers have been dropping slightly over the past few years. They say this is why measles outbreaks are occurring in Ireland and across Europe. Talks are underway at the Labour Court in a bid to resolve the nurses' dispute. It issued a formal hearing to both sides in the row over pay and working conditions after deciding to intervene. It's unclear if three planned days of industrial action by over 40,000 nurses and midwives will go ahead tomorrow. Reporter Shane Beattie says as a result, there's uncertainty over whether or not thousands of medical appointments will be cancelled.
It seems like the HSE are holding back because they want to see what happens with this formal intervention. So they haven't given us any details today of what has been cancelled or not cancelled for tomorrow, for Wednesday and for Thursday. You'd imagine they are biding their time and waiting and seeing what's going to happen. But look, the advice for people is listen to the news, watch social media, and if you hear that the strike is still going ahead, assume that all outpatient appointments, planned surgeries are cancelled and there'll be reduced cover in the emergency department.
The Sealton Healthcare Group is advising people to only attend the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital today in the case of a real emergency. The hospital is the third most overcrowded in the country today, with 42 people awaiting inpatient beds there this morning. In a statement issued this afternoon, Sealton says the hospital is extremely busy today, including the emergency department, the acute medical assessment unit, the day surgery unit and the wards. The healthcare group says this is a challenging time for the hospital. A Donegal deputy is seeking further assurances that proposals to pursue a new community hospital in Lifford in 2021 are honoured. Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher also says commitments to carry out planned improvements at St Joseph's Community Hospital Stranorter and Remelton Community Hospital need to be protected. He says at a series of meetings with the HSE and Department of Health officials, an agreed plan was signed up to by all interested parties, but now questions over funding have been raised. Deputy Gallagher says clarity is needed.
We've waited long enough for the developments in the community hospitals. Funding has been provided from a number of them, but there's no funding actually provided yet for St. Joseph's and Remelton. We were told that it was on course, but each time I ask a question, they tell me it has to come out of the existing budget. I'm also concerned, of course, about the future of Lifford. There was a meeting there at the weekend, and they're anxious that they will be considered for funding post-2021.
And indeed, Lifford could be an even more difficult situation, because in the case of St. Joseph's and Remelton, it's works which are necessary in existing premises to bring them up to HICWA standards. In the case of Lifford, it's a proposed new development on a greenfield site.
This is as a result of the Ratican report, and I've asked for a copy of the Ratican report, and then we'll be able to pursue this further. However, Lifford is very much on our agenda, as well as Ballybuffet and Remelton. We're not going to accept any cuts. We're having a meeting with the Minister in March, and hopefully we'll get clarification then.
The reality of it is, what you're saying here is being echoed up and down the country. Can you make an argument that Donegal is indeed different?
Yeah, this has been raised on numerous occasions. I think that we have the competitive edge. It's now about 3 years of the week when we had that march in Ballybuffet, when there was a turnout from all parts of the county, and the people had spoken then, and while I don't want to be scaremongering, I want to protect these projects for my own county.
And sticking with health, Sinn Féin has been accused of playing the man rather than the ball over its no-confidence motion in the health minister. Simon Harris is facing a vote on his future as minister, though Fianna Fáil won't support the motion. Sinn Féin is trying to swap time with other parties so that the issue can be debated this week. Taoiseach Simon Coveney says the vote has no chance of passing.
But they're looking for attention, and they're playing politics with important issues, unfortunately. This is another example of Sinn Féin trying to play the man rather than the ball. I think most people see it as a stunt, which is what it is.
The Bishop of Raphoe has reached out to survivors of abuse. It has been announced that Friday, February the 15th, has been designated a day of prayer for survivors of abuse. Bishop Alan McGaughan says following Father Con Cunningham's conviction in the past year, he wants to reach out to anyone who was abused in the past by him or by any other priest or church personnel. Trish Lafferty has more.
Speaking ahead of the Day of Prayer for Survivors of Abuse, the Bishop of Raphoe, Alan McGaughan, says the difficulty for people who've been abused to break the silence is recognised. He speaks of Father Con Cunningham, a priest of the diocese who was sentenced for child abuse last year. Bishop McGaughan has reached out to anyone who was abused in the past by Father Cunningham or by any other priest or church personnel. He says he wants to ensure anyone who's suffered abuse at the hands of a priest or church personnel will be supported, and that all matters brought to the attention of the diocese are referred to relevant authorities. The bishop has also announced that a new designated liaison person for child safeguarding in the diocese has been appointed. On Friday, a ceremony of blessing and dedication of a candle of atonement will be led in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, at 10 a.m. Mass.
Police in Strabane believe last night's fire at the old Smith Mill on the Derry Road was started deliberately. Emergency services were called to the derelict building after the blaze broke out shortly after 9:30. Speaking earlier today, local councillor Patsy Kelly reiterated calls for the building to be secured or demolished. He says action needs to be taken now before it's too late.
Somebody caused that fire. There have been people in that building. God knows what happened, but thankfully not. But the fact is that this building, many, many occasions, we've had to contact the owners and contact council to get the owners to secure this. And only of last week they came and secured it with a bit of wood. Wood is not strong enough to keep young people out of this. This is a huge complex, an old mill, and which is a fire hazard. It needs to be either demolished or properly secured up with bricks and mortar. We have seen plans for that building by a company several years ago, and nothing has came to fruition. I've been in contact with the police as well, and they're going to push this for the same thing, and the council this morning to get on to get this building either secured, get the owners to secure it, or tumble it.
And this isn't the first time that there have been problems with that particular building?
It's not. This has been going on now for years, and it is a fire hazard and a death trap waiting to happen within Saban Town Centre.
Thankfully, no injuries last night. Your fear is that the next time there could be?
That is the biggest fear now. And now it's this morning I'll be on the council here to get this and get the owners. Now we need this building either demolished or properly secured, not just with a piece of wood and boards. This either has to be bricked up or concreted up in one way or the other, because it's an eyesore and it's a death trap waiting to happen.
People are waiting up to 8 months on a list to see a counsellor at rape crisis centres around the country. There has also been an increase in the number of young people seeking help after being raped or sexually abused. Social media and a better understanding of consent are just some of the reasons for the increase. There are currently 175 people on the waiting list at the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, but CEO Nolan Blackwell says that's not their biggest problem.
We're delighted when people come forward and we say we will assess you and we should be able to help you. The problem is that over the past year or so, the length of time people have had to stay on that list has increased. And so people are now waiting for 6, 7, 8 months to be seen for a first time. And we are not happy about that.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Make your Shop LK gift card go further with an additional 20% bonus on all Shop LK vouchers.
It's 14 minutes past five and time for the latest sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with Gaelic Games, and Laois referee Maurice Deegan will take charge of Gaeilge's All-Ireland semi-final against Carrigfinn this coming Saturday. That game takes place at Carrick and Shannon at 1:30pm and could well prove to be Gaeilge's toughest test to date. Gaeilge's Kevin Cassidy is expecting a tough battle, but knows all of Gaeilge will be there supporting them.
All throughout this run?
Definitely. You know, football's everything in our parish, it always has been. And, you know, I know for a fact they're booked on Friday night and some of them going down. And, you know, there'll be nobody left in the parish, but we really need them because we're really up against it, if we're being honest. Like, Carrigfinn are probably the best club team in Ireland the last 4 or 5 years. This is our first stint at it, so we're going to need all the help we can get.
Donegal will go into the National Football League break with 4 points out of a possible 6 after they lost out to Tipperary yesterday in Division 2. Donegal looked to be in control of the action, but errors in defence led to goals for Tip, which proved to be Donegal's undoing. Martin McHugh gave his thoughts after the final whistle yesterday.
It was a disappointing game all through. We didn't play well. First half we were playing with the one. We didn't put enough on the scoreboard. We were too casual, too lackadaisical. What did I say before the game? I just didn't like the whole atmosphere about the Donegal. You know, everything else. People just felt we're only coming down here for a one and everything else. It doesn't work out like that. You have to be ready and prepared, especially, you know, with short players and everything else.
The Donegal Ladies' good form in the Little Ladies National Football League continued to win over Mayo yesterday, beating the Westerners by 3 goals and 10 points to 2 goals and 7. Karen Guthrie scored a goal in 5, with Kira Grant and Roisin Friel also scoring goals for Maxie Curran's side. In soccer, Ashley Young has signed a 1-year contract extension with Manchester United. He joined the club in 2011 from Aston Villa originally as a winger, but has played at full back in recent seasons. Young has been involved in all bar one of United's Premier League games this season and has captained the side for the majority of this term. Newcastle's record signing could make his debut tonight. Miguel Almiron is in the Magpies squad for their Premier League game away to Wolves. A Newcastle win would move them 3 points clear of the relegation zone. Finn Harps kick off their Premier Division campaign on Friday night away to Bohemians in Dalymount Park. It'll be a very different scenario this time around from when they were relegated at the end of 2017 with just 10 teams in the Premier Division now, and they know that staying in the top flight will require some big performances. Manager Ollie Horgan says that although having three extra games will be tough, they're happy to be where they are.
I think you've got 7 or 8 Monday games, and I think there's one period which I'm not quite sure how the fixtures landed, but we've a game against Shamrock Rovers out of the blue on a Monday night when nobody else is playing. It means you go Friday, Monday, Friday, Monday, Friday, Monday, which is crazy for a part-time team, but it's great to be in it, and we've little to complain about. We'd gladly take that than to have a game once every fortnight or once every week as we had in the last 12 months.
There's one game in the Knockalla Caravans Cup this evening at Glenealy. Finn Harps reserves playing Derry City reserves. In rugby, Ireland's Six Nations win over Scotland brought no new injury worries for Joe Schmidt. It's hoped that Tadhg Byrne will be fit for the trip to Italy, having missed the first two games of the campaign. A number of the squad will be released to their respective provinces ahead of this coming weekend's round of Pro 14 games. In horse racing, the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board have lifted the ban on British trained horses that was imposed due to the outbreak of equine flu at Donald McCain's Cheshire Yard. A decision on the resumption of racing in the UK will be made by the BHA at 10:30 tonight. In golf, Phil Mickelson has won a record-equalling 5th Pebble Beach Pro-Am title. He beat Paul Casey by 3 shots after completing a weather-delayed final round of 67 this afternoon. Mickelson joins Mark O'Mara in winning the tournament 5 times. And finally, in snooker, Mark Allen is in first-round action at the Welsh Open this evening, taking on Mark Joyce. Earlier, Ken Doherty beat Sean O'Sullivan by 4-1 to set up a second-round meeting with world number 100, Sam Craigie. That's all your sports news here on Highland this evening. Your next sports update will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. But for now, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. And returning to some news, Donegal County Council is being urged to carry out an audit of disabled parking spaces in the Letterkenny area. It follows claims that some spaces in and around the town are not fit for purpose. The issue is to be raised at tomorrow's sitting of the Letterkenny Municipal District. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says the council could be doing more.
I just would like the council to look at them all and to see in practical terms what can be done, what improvements can be made. We've ratified now, the government ratified the charter on or the convention on people with the UN convention on people with rights of people with disabilities in 2018. And I would like now, I think at local level, to start looking at what practical measures can be done at a local level. And it doesn't necessarily mean spending a lot of money. I think it means more of putting a bit of thought into things and seeing what can be done and taking the views of talking to people who have disabilities and seeing what issues they have and seeing how we can correct them.
And would you be of the opinion that this issue is particularly confined to the area of the main street in the town and different side streets?
Yeah, I really like them to look at all the existing disabled parking spots in the town and in the area of the town, and see what the issues are with them. I think we should be looking at two. Do we need more, and do we need ones in different locations? Do we need to be specific about where we put them? Maybe outside particular things, whether it's chiropodist, a doctor, surgery, or whatever. Should we be thinking more about things to get in where disabled parking spots are needed and where they're of most practical benefit.
And finally, Syro is to invest €14 million in the broadband network in Donegal. The company's fibre to the building broadband network is being extended to Buncrana, Donegal Town, Ballybuffet, Stranorder, Ballyshannon and Bundoran. Construction has already commenced with 1,600 premises in Buncrana able to avail of gigabit connectivity, while preparatory works are also underway in the other 5 towns. Stephen O'Connor is Syro's Director of Corporate Affairs.
We launched in Letterkenny about 2.5 years ago, and our network is now about 11,000 homes across Letterkenny. Because the network was going very well there and services were being taken up, we looked at some other towns in Donegal, and I'm delighted this morning to be able to announce 6 new towns as part of our network.
Work is already underway. This isn't something that's going to happen in 4, 5, 6 years down the line. This is happening pretty much now.
It is. I mean, our towns this morning, Buncrana, Ballyshannon, Bundoran, Donegal, Ballybuffet, Stranorlar, we're actually halfway through the Buncrana build already. We've about 2,000 homes already done. Not only have we started in Ballybuffet, we have our first customers in Ballybuffet as well. We'll move on then down to Donegal. I think people are a little bit jaded about telecoms announcements. Are they real? And we wanted to wait until we actually had boots on the ground and we actually had homes connected before we made this announcement.
When will this project be fully realised?
I would say the end of this year, December 2019, for the 6 towns.
Other towns are going to be looking, in other perhaps more rural areas looking as well, to see is there any way we can get in on this action. Do you foresee further expansions in the future, or have you reached capacity?
I would say we're always looking. I mean, our intention to come to Letterkenny was to do 11,000, and then now we've added another 6 towns, another 14,000. So we're going to end up with about 25,000 homes in Donegal County, which there's about 100,000 homes in Donegal County. So that's pretty good. We will always look at adding other towns into the network. We've no specific plans beyond the 6, but we will always keep it under review.
For weather now, dry this evening and mostly cloudy. Tonight will be mostly cloudy also and breezy with some light rain or drizzle overnight and lowest temperatures of 4 to 6 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a family of 6 have been left homeless in Letterkenny after being told they had to leave their temporary accommodation this morning. Jo Ahmed, her husband and 4 children, having presented at Donegal County Council, claim the local authority have told them there is no onus on them to provide the family with emergency accommodation, as they cannot establish if Miss Ahmed is habitually resident in Ireland. The HSE has confirmed today that they are continuing to deal with the measles outbreak in Donegal. Last week, 2 cases were confirmed with a link to a third level institution in Galway. Today, the body says there are 3 more probable cases and they are investigating several other. The Bishop of Raphoe has reached out to survivors of abuse. It comes as Friday, February the 15th, is designated a day of prayer for survivors of abuse. Bishop Al McGuckian says that following Father Con Cunningham's conviction in the past year, he wants to reach out to anyone who was abused in the past by him or by any other priest or church personnel. And police in Strabane believe last night's fire at the old Smith's Mill on the Derry Road was started deliberately. Emergency services were called to the derelict building after the blaze broke out shortly after 9:30. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, February the 11th. The death has taken place of Liam Curry, 138 Beldu, Strabane. Remains are reposing at his home tonight from 9 o'clock. Funeral leaving his home on Wednesday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Ulster Cancer Foundation, Kev Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Brendan Taggart, 17 Lochry Terrace, Drumquin. His remains will be reposing at his late residence from 7:30 this evening. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Arthur Mulhern, 12 Carn Ray Kilgort, Clody, County Derry. His remains will be reposing at his late residence from 12 noon tomorrow. Funeral from there on Thursday, going to St Joseph's Church, Craigban, for 12 noon Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in St Joseph's Cemetery, Banagher. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Eamon Martin, Clohenbeg, Clohen. His remains will repose in the oratory in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Glenfinn, tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, with rosary at 9 o'clock. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Kiltyvogue Cemetery. The death has taken place of May Sweeney, Conlon, Kerry Keane and formerly Ballyconnell, County Cavan. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen. Burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. The death has occurred of Pat Lynch, 109, Camas Road, Douglas Bridge. Pat's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Eugene's Church, Glenock, with interment afterwards in Glenock Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Denise Freel, Knock, Ballybuffet. Her remains will repose at her home from 7 o'clock this evening until 11 o'clock and tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 11 p.m. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Shashoneen, Ballybuffet, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has occurred of Frank Higgins, Viewford, Ballyhane, Greencastle, County Donegal, formerly of Dungannon, County Tyrone. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by interment in St Malachy's Cemetery, Edendorg, County Tyrone, arriving at approximately 3:30. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice or Bile Cancer UK, care of any family member. Private pleas after the rosary at 11 o'clock tonight and tomorrow morning. The death has taken place of Jimmy Dugan Crawley. His remains are reposing at his late residence, with removal from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock funeral mass in St Patrick's Chapel, Mina Wheel, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. House private from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. A rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. The death has taken place of Nellie McCahill, Art Connell, Ardra. Her remains are reposing at Chauvelin's Funeral Home, Sandfeed, this evening until 6 o'clock, with removal at 6:30 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, arriving at 7 o'clock. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, a burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Gráinne Gallagher, Cashlings, Kilcar. Remains are reposing at her home. Removal from her home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for funeral mass in St. Carthus Church, Kilcar, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Kilcar Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Mary McGoldrick, née Connolly, 114 Carton Drive, Strabán, and formerly of Blaine Ahearn. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Cystic Fibrosis Association, Kerf Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m.